This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, Trish. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
All right, there's some breaking news out of Chicago. The president's talking about the wall and saying Nancy Pelosi will beg him for one. And was the soda tax in Philadelphia all about revenge? All right, now, a couple things for you. First of all, this is fascinating to me. Fascinating. Yesterday, we had talked a lot about the Empire Star who said he was attacked in a hate crime in Chicago. Well, there's a little bit of an update on that story for you. I'll share with you in just a matter of moments. And I think you're like it, too, because the show is always on the cusp of breaking news and breaking moments of always keeping you in the loop of things. NBC News reporting the following out of Chicago. Chicago police say Empire actor Jussie Smollett refused to hand over cell phone to them. The actor declined to share telephone records that could show he was speaking with his manager during his alleged assault. That right-wing news site, NBC News, Empire actor Jussie Smollett has refused to turn over his cell phone to detectives who are investigating the alleged attack that sent him to the hospital earlier this week. Chicago police said that on Thursday. The actor declined to share telephone records that could show he was speaking with his manager just as the alleged assault happened early Tuesday morning in Chicago. That was confirmed to NBC News by police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Anthony Guglielmi. Jussie Smollett has told police he was confronted by two men who allegedly hurled racist and homophobic slurs just before they beat him up. They're investigating the case as a possible hate crime. The manager has told police he heard the attacker say, quote, "This is MAGA country," during the assault. When police asked Smollett for his cell phone and records to confirm the call, he refused to share them. Wasn't immediately clear if Chicago police would seek to obtain those records independently. Interesting. A representative for the actor cannot immediately return messages seeking comment about his cell phone and the phone records. But in a prepared statement issued late Thursday afternoon, Smollett's family, through the same representative, reiterated his claim of being attacked because of his race and orientation. All right, so the question becomes, why is he not handing over his cell phone to the police as they do their investigation? Remember, these records could show he was speaking with his manager just as the alleged assault happened. So why would he not turn that over to the police? This also comes after there was a story today about whether or not the frame in the thing showed he had a noose or not. So there's a lot of questions that are going on right now. Either way, it's already being spun. USA Today, assault on Empire actor Jussie Smollett serves as a reminder. Lynching and the noose symbolism are still prevalent. So there you go. Whether or not he did it or not, I guess, is irrelevant. Now, here is a news story on the issue here. Actually, I don't know. Do we have this one, Greg? I'm not sure if we do have this or not.
The Good Morning America one?
Yes, Good Morning America news package. All right, here we go. This is what Good Morning America led off with today, Cut 8.
Smollett, a star in the hit drama Empire, told police it all started early Tuesday morning around 2 a.m., soon after he landed in Chicago from New York, a trip he chronicled on Instagram. The 36-year-old telling authorities he was walking home alone in the frigid 9-degree weather after buying food from the Subway sandwich shop in downtown Chicago when two masked people yelling racial and homophobic slurs jumped him and poured an unknown liquid substance on him. Then, he says, one of the assailants wrapped a rope around his neck before running off.
Well-known requesting a report and said the noose was placed over the friend's neck.
At around 2:40 a.m., police get a 911 call. When they arrive at Smollett's apartment, they say he still had a white rope wrapped around his neck. Detectives say they again reached out to the actor after seeing media reports claiming new details. He then told them his attackers also yelled, "MAGA country, make America great again." Smollett's manager, Brandon Moore, telling us he was on the phone with the actor at the time of the attack. He says he told authorities about the MAGA country comment, adding, "I heard the scuffle and I heard the racial slur." But police telling ABC News they cannot independently verify that Smollett was on the phone with his manager because Smollett refuses to turn over his phone to authorities. The actor was later hospitalized and has since been released. Police confirmed to ABC News that he had recently been sent a threatening letter. The FBI is investigating.
Now, as this investigation goes on, here's what we're learning. Police also tell ABC News that Smollett and these persons of interest were recorded on two different cameras when they were on different sides of the street. The people are seen getting up off a bench while Smollett is seen on another camera walking out of frame. When he's back in view a little bit later, he's seen walking into an apartment building with that rope around his neck. Police say wearing it somewhat like almost a necktie. Just very, very confusing, and so many questions still to be answered.
Well, there you go. Now, you should also know this, too. Police have reviewed hundreds of hours of footage from more than 20 surveillance cameras in the area. They have not found any images of the alleged attack, but do have footage that shows part of his journey to and from the neighborhood. They have released pictures taken from the surveillance cameras of two potential people of interest, but stopped short of calling them suspects because all they were doing was walking down the street. So they weren't actually even in the same frame as him. So that's the latest. All right. So anybody want to change their predictions on whether or not this story is going to pan out to be true or false after all this new information's come to light? No?
I think Philadelphia, no? I think Chicago PD is on the fact that they're releasing this.
Mm-hmm.
Is telling.
What does it tell you in your years of journalism, Dawn? The fact that they'd be releasing this, what does it tell you?
Well, they're calling BS a little bit.
Do you think Anthony Googly Gots is doubting this? The police spokesman, Anthony Googly Gots.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to call him. I can't pronounce his last name, so that works.
He's got a theory. No, I think again, Philadelphia police, they've taken a huge hit with all the crime and the rise in homicides and shootings and all. You know, they look bad with this.
Yeah.
They look bad. And so you have to consider that this is a very swanky area of Chicago. Right off Native Eve Pier, right off Magnificent Mile, Michigan Avenue. They're investigating this and they're saying, look, I think they're going to come out and just say, we can't find that there was an actual crime.
I think it's certainly looking like that, right?
It looks like it. It would appear.
Gentlemen, would you like to change your opinions on anything as the new information comes to light?
No.
Okay.
No, it's still the same. I mean, they didn't, just because they have two people on video walking, doesn't, mm-hmm. I mean... If there's no actual assault that they can find, then no.
All right, what about the mysterious redneck with a rope? Have you heard about this?
Which is scary.
Which is toy, I believe. Really. His neighbor said that she saw a redneck with a rope walking near their apartment building shortly before the attack. A redneck with a rope.
Well, that would be again. If
By
you
the way, that was my that was my
Charlie Daniels
cover band. Thank you, Greg. Devil went down to Georgia. Dawn, sorry. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, on a serious level, that if I live near there, which I once did,
yeah,
like that's scary to think some crazy person is going around targeting certain people. That's a scary thing. Police seriously have to investigate that. And
yeah.
I think what the cops are saying is, hey, folks, no need to be worried.
How did they know he had a rope? Like, was he like swinging it over his head like a...
How you doing?
Like
a cowboy?
Yeah.
Maybe he was doing cowboy tricks with the rope.
Yeah. Maybe he played a little too much Red Dead Redemption. I don't know. I'm just worried. I just don't know why...
How y'all doing? I'm here to round up some cattle. I'm a redneck with a rope. How does anybody know that?
Now yes. The Red Dead Redemption, that's like the number one video game right now. That's a good theory.
Well, do people walk around with ropes as a result of that video game?
Maybe they're not. You don't know.
Is that theory? I was making a joke.
I know. It was pretty funny.
It's a good joke, Greg. Well, she's trying to give you a compliment.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Do you know who we can have solve all this for us, Dawn? Ooh. Is Batman.
Yeah.
Batman should solve this for us.
Yeah.
Best news of the day today. Guess who's out as Batman?
Your favorite Batman ever.
He's out!
Ben is out.
Ben Affleck's out, kids. Boom, he's out. Fired as Batman. The Batfleck is out. Out. There you go. That good? I've never been so happy in my life to see a man fail at something than Ben Affleck. Yes, Greg.
Who is going to... do they say who's
doesn't matter.
Him?
Yeah. Maybe the redneck with a rope. It doesn't matter who's going to replace him. Whoever it is going to be a huge improvement. Maybe Big Dan will do it. But it doesn't matter, because whoever it is going to be so much better than Ben Affleck. The worst. Who should be the new Batman, Don? Who do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
No?
I don't
think
know.
Of anybody? I think it should be somebody younger, obviously, than Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Not somebody who's a jerk. Not somebody who's smug and an elitist and arrogant. So, you know. I could be Batman. I could definitely be the Batman.
When you have to deepen your voice when you're actually Batman.
I'm Batman. Well, I have to do it with my son all the time. Because we play superheroes all the time, and I always have to be the Batman. So, hey, Joker. You come to the wrong place tonight. And I'm still more convincing as Batman than Ben Affleck was.
I don't know why everybody has to have that voice when they play Batman. Like, there's no reason for Christian Bale to have that voice. Like, you can Michael Keaton had a regular voice, didn't he?
No, the person who had a little bit deeper, but the person who had a regular voice was George Clooney, because he wasn't trying. Also, Adam West.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because they weren't trying.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
George Clooney with his bat nipples sounded like Batman all the time. Because,
like,
you know.
Hey, I'm Batman, guys.
Yeah. Well, they would go to concerts dressed as Batman and Robin. And, you know, they would be at the Gotham Philharmonic as Batman and Robin. But no, the whole thing about using the voice, and Christian Bale went a little too far with it. But then Ben Affleck, in his portrayal, he had a whole thing about this in his voice. He goes, like that. He sounded so bad. That's good that he's out. All right, so maybe he can save the day in Chicago. Chicago.
So Chicago? There's a list. They're saying the number one candidate is Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer?
32-year-old.
Who is that?
Exactly.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
Oscar Isaac.
Oh, no, that's
I don't
too
know
soon.
Who any of these
that's
people
just
are.
Too soon. Armie Hammer is not bleach, it's baking soda. Sorry, Don. Go ahead.
Trevante Rhodes.
Don't know who that is either.
Henry Golding.
Don't know.
So
all these people would
like
still be
young.
Better, though. They'd all still be better than Ben Affleck.
Yeah, they're all like young dudes.
You know what would be better if they got Adam West back? That would be better than Ben Affleck at this point in his life.
Armie Hammer was in Call Me By Your Name on the Basis of Sex, a new Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie.
He was in the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie?
Yeah.
Did he play Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Maybe.
She would be a better Batman than Ben Affleck. RBG. By the way, do we have an update on how she's doing, by the way? Have we heard? Has anybody heard?
Nobody has said a word.
Is she back to work?
No idea. No one knows.
Nobody says.
This is the greatest cover-up in history.
Is the Supreme Court like a work-from-home job? I'm curious of how they...
You know what it is?
A scam.
It's like a union. It's like a no-show job. Yeah. There's no show and no work, Supreme Court positions. Yeah, we gave Ruthie the no-show, no-work Supreme Court seat, so she never has to show up or do anything. That's nice. Yeah, the big question is, will she be wheeled into the State of the Union address next week? And when I say wheeled in, I mean carried in like Weekend at Bernie's. That's what I mean by that. Will she be there or not?
No.
Yeah, so listen, you're on the Supreme Court. It's a lifetime appointment. You get to work from home. You don't have to be anywhere. Just email your opinions.
Yeah, I mean,
right? Work from home job.
Isn't the whole point to hear arguments and to,
you ever see those ads on the internet? They go, work from home, make $200 a week. They're talking about the Supreme Court. You will click on that, you apply, it takes you right to the White House application. You can become a Supreme Court justice. You know how they say, be aware of those stay at home from work scams?
Yeah.
That's how you wind up on the Supreme Court. It's what happened to Antonin Scalia. One day he did that, and he goes, damn it, now I'm a justice. I got scammed. True story right there.
I hate when that happens.
Just how that happens. work from home. Yes. You imagine if it turns out that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is actually going door to door as a Supreme Court justice. So work from home, door to door. It never has to be in the office. Travel a lot. I go to warm places. 855-839-1210. So that's the big question. Will she or will she not show Tuesday night? Just so you know, a couple things here on the national front, because it's been a very locally centric show for the most part today. Bernie Sanders wants to seize 77% of dead billionaires' estates. The estate tax is a form of double taxation. This is from Reason.com. Senator Bernie Sanders today from Vermont today introduced a bill that would greatly expand the estate tax, which is also called the death tax, allowing the federal government to take up to 77% of a billionaire's net worth after they die. The avowed socialist and possible 2020 presidential candidate is calling his bill the, quote, quote, for the 99.8% Act. I kid you not. For the 99.8% Act. And a summary of the legislation claims that 99.8% of Americans would not see their taxes go up by one penny under this plan. So, you know, this is what the Democratic Party, as they go further and further to the left, they have to keep coming up with new and creative ways to take people's private property and the money that they've earned their entire life. And Bernie Sanders right there. That's what the newest salvo is right there. All right. What else now we have here? The president today commented on the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, and the wall. And this is what, first of all, this is what the vampiric one said today. Nancy Pelosi, the eternal walker of the night, not in a good red light district way, I should point out. Cut number one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You said that earlier, just a minute ago, you said that the committee should be left to a consensus of its own devices.
Yes.
Whatever the product is, are you committed to allowing a floor vote? Whatever conference agreement that they have, are you committed to bringing that to the floor for a vote?
Well, if they come out with a bipartisan consensus, of course.
Even if it includes border wall money, though?
We're not having a negotiation over this right now. They're having a negotiation over it in there. There's not going to be any wall money in the legislation. However, if they have some suggestions about certain localities where technology, some infrastructure, as I said, about the ports of entry, we might need more ports of entry, we might need some roads. That's part of the negotiation. It is not a negotiation for the president, say. What did he say today? It doesn't matter what Congress does. I knew that he wanted it all to himself. I mean, oh, really?
Well, there you go. That's the Speaker of the House right there. The president responded to the vampiric one today. Cut
Nancy forward. Pelosi said this morning that there is not going to be a wall in this deal, but she did say she'd be open to other kinds of physical barriers. Would you accept that?
No, because if there's no wall, it doesn't work. She's just playing games. So if there's no wall, it doesn't work. And we're building the wall right now. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, but we have a lot of wall under construction. We've given out a lot of contracts over the last 3-4 weeks, good contracts. A lot of wall is soon going to be under construction. Tens of millions of dollars to Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And then they have caravans leaving their country coming up here. And by the way, if you go to Tijuana and you take down that wall, you will have so many people coming into our country that Nancy Pelosi will be begging for a wall. She'll be begging for a wall. She will say, Mr. President, please, please give us a wall.
But you still don't think there's going to be a deal, but you're not going to declare it now. Don't you think that undermines...
No, I'm waiting. Excuse me. I didn't say that. I said I'm waiting till February 15th. On February 15th, the committee will come back. And if they don't have a wall, I don't even want to waste my time reading what they have, because it's a waste of time. Because the only thing that works for security and safety for our country is a wall. Now, when you couple the wall with sensors and drones and all of these other things, that works as a combination. But if you don't have a wall, they're all just wasting their time. It's just politics. Thank you all very much.
Press, let's go. Make your way out.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay. It's been pointed out to us, Dawn, that the fourth mic on our program, our producer, Big Dan, sounds like a kinder, gentler Chris Christie.
They also said lesser.
The kinder, gentler, lesser Chris Christie. But that's a compliment, actually.
Yeah, it is. Lesser, that's for sure.
Let's compare him with Chris Christie, shall we? Speaking of the lesser and Chris Christie last night, we had a little conversation last night. Let's see if Big Dan does sound like Chris Christie. Cut three. Hang on. Redneck with a rope.
Oh, this thing is... Right,
if there is no
oh
crime,
yes.
If there is nothing to hide, why do so many around, and including the president, lie about Russia-related things?
Well, listen, on the president, I can't answer that directly.
You must.
I can't. Let me first answer the people around
him. How do you not know?
Hold on. Well, because I don't know everything. I'd like to believe I know everything, but I don't. This is what I can say about the people around him who have been charged and some convicted or pled. I learned when I was a prosecutor that bad people and stupid people
you were a prosecutor?
Lie all the time for no explicable reason. Right?
You think that there are bad and stupid people around the president?
Oh, there have been. I mean, Paul Manafort, bad guy. Michael Flynn, I've already said, bad guy. George Papadopoulos, bad guy.
So should hire me.
The list of folks, Rick Gates, bad guy. I mean, so there's no debating that any longer.
Other than Papadopoulos, all picked, including Roger Stone, by the president. And you say bad or stupid. Look, I am all about respecting the presidency, no matter how much heat I get for that because of what the man in the office does on a daily basis. But what category does he fall under? Because he has lied gratuitously about these things.
Listen, I understand, and I understand the argument that goes on perpetually between the White House and certain aspects of the media and whatever. I understand why it happens. I don't think that's useful. I think in the end, I want to look at the president and the president's actions. And when you look at his actions, they're not nearly as drastic as his words.
All right. Well, there you go. Fantastic. Thank you. So does he sound like Big Dan? I don't think he does really particularly, does he?
I mean, I can isolate a little piece here.
And when you look at his actions, they're not nearly as drastic as his words.
Mm. Well, there you go. I think you sound better than him, Dan, so there you go. All right, you sound much better.
Bad guy.
There you go. Well done. Think about this now for a second. The governor of Virginia comes out and talks about killing babies after they're born, and you don't hear a single Democrat criticize him, not one. Think of the amount of people that have criticized Howard Schultz for saying that he's the American dream, or that he's a self-made man, or that he's a billionaire. Just think about that. Think about that, right? Most of us believe that the governor of Virginia's comments yesterday represented some sort of this evilness that, my God, if that becomes commonplace in our society, we are so doomed, right? Yet no Democrats came out and went after him. No former Obama people, no former Hillary Clinton people. Nobody. Now, contrast that with the number of people that went after Howard Schultz just for talking about being a billionaire. What does that tell you about the Democratic Party? Honestly, what does that tell you? Tells me exactly what you need to know about who has taken over the Democratic Party. That's it. That's all you need to know. Contrast it. Column A. Number of people that criticize the governor of Virginia or that kooky legislator in Virginia who talks about allowing abortions up to 40 weeks, the amount of people is zero. Zero Democrats. On the other side, I've shared with you tweets savaging Howard Schultz. I've played clips of people savaging Howard Schultz, former Obama people, people ridiculing him. And you know what's fascinating, of course, as this continues to go on every single day? Howard Schultz exposes something about Democrats, and this is the problem for them. As John Fund wrote at Fox News, "Hey, Democrats, you're roasting Howard Schultz when you should be working hard to find a centrist candidate." Mike Allen, the well-wired reporter for Axios, says Democrats are beyond being furious at Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks. Mike Allen is hearing threads of boycotts and social isolation, attacks on Starbucks, and emotional, insistent lobbying of his advisors. The anti-Trump talking heads and liberal consultants are terrified at the mere thought of an independent centrist presidential candidate like Schultz, that he would draw some votes from a liberal Democratic nominee running against President Trump in 2020. Messina, Obama's 2012 campaign manager, goes so far as to say Schultz should spend this time and money doing something that won't ruin the world. And I have shared with you tweets from wacko like Cher and others, you know. Steve Kornacki, who is an analyst from New Jersey on MSNBC, he wrote in Salon in 2011 that independent spoilers often don't spoil who people think. So it's very possible, theoretically speaking, Howard Schultz could take votes from Donald Trump, right? I mean, it's possible. So what's the real reason why Democrats are coming after Howard Schultz? They really think that they're going to hand Trump the White House, or is it something else? Is it that he represents the absolute worst idea in the world, which is capitalism? That's what it's about. Really, honestly, the governor of Virginia, no criticism for what he represents, none. In fact, it's all about the mean and ugly Republicans who are twisting his words. Howard Schultz, though, he's the scum of the earth because this guy made money building a business. Michael Bloomberg said this in an interview with the AP. This is why they're about to destroy Michael Bloomberg, too, even though they love Michael Bloomberg, because Michael Bloomberg wants to take away every single one, every single gun that's owned by a private citizen in America. Cut two.
I think you can question whether or not we have the right tax rates. I've said the last tax rate decrease was not appropriate, was not needed, and in fact took away the money we needed for something else. And if you want to solve income inequality, one of the things you have to do is you have to adjust how progressive the tax rates are. There's a balance between getting people to pay their taxes or using gimmicks to avoid them, and making sure that they still have an incentive to be more productive and generate more revenue and income and wealth for everybody. We need a healthy economy, and we shouldn't be embarrassed about our system. If you want to look at a system that's non-capitalistic, just take a look at what was perhaps the wealthiest country in the world, and today people are starving to death. It's called Venezuela.
Okay. Now let's contrast that, shall we, with the former Native American Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And you understand exactly where the Democratic Party is. So on fiscal fronts, they're all to the extreme left of this. Social issues, extreme left of this. As far left as you can get. Cut five.
I see the wealth that can be produced, but let's be really clear. Capitalism without rules is theft.
How many rules do we have? We have more rules in this country around making money and trying to run a business in this country. We have so many rules. You can't even open a food truck in this country without having a million rules you got to go through. Try opening up any business in America. You got to deal with all these rules. There are more rules around banks and Wall Street and every single aspect of life. Sorry, go ahead.
Encouraging companies to build their business models on cheating people, that's not capitalism. That's not competition in the marketplace. That's not producing consumer surplus. So what I believe is capitalism with serious rules. And that means rules where everybody gets a chance to play.
Okay. First of all, she doesn't believe in capitalism at all. Secondly, she does. She would love more and more rules, but it has nothing to do with capitalism. Nothing to do with capitalism because she's a socialist. There's a story in I saw this yesterday at NJ.com. I'm a socialist and a historian. Socialism is blooming again in New Jersey, this time in the age of Trump. Whitney Straub writing this. This is what I mean, kids. They are very excited about the idea that socialism is running. She is the director of Women's and Gender Studies Program and an associate history professor at Rutgers University in Newark. She writes, in the end, you can look at the work American socialists are doing in New Jersey with a commitment to the rights of workers, immigrants, LGBTQ people, women and all, and judge socialism by its work rather than the grotesque memory of 20th century communist authoritarianism. Or you could take the word of Trump's economic advisors. See what she did there about the 20th century communist authoritarianism? It's exactly what the talking head did on Tucker last night. They get away from all of the horrors of their position and they spin back to all of what they want to put forward. It's like every kid in a college dorm in America who will tell you the problem with socialism is just it hasn't been tried right, as they kick their hacky sack and listen to Bob Marley or Fish or whatever they're listening to now. I have no idea. I don't care. They just go, the problem is it hasn't been tried right. And so the argument now with people who are out and out socialists is it's time to ignore the grotesque memory of the 20th century communist authoritarianism and focus on the good of socialism. The reason why Howard Schultz is getting destroyed while the governor of Virginia is getting defended is because the worst thing the Democratic Party could be right now is being accused of being a capitalist. That is the worst thing that party could be accused of right now. The worst. All the other things that were said about the Democrats in the last 24 hours over the comments that came out of Virginia, not so much. They don't really care about that. You call them a capitalist now, we're going to have some problems, all right? We're going to have some problems. Sad times, my friends, sad times. But luckily, Philadelphia is still a Democrat stronghold because of union thugs and corrupt politicians. Here's a recap for you very quickly. The union in the indictment is alleged that the soda tax in Philadelphia was retaliation against the Teamsters. And the Teamsters union was to punish them. That was by Doherty and this councilman Heenan in Philadelphia. All right. One of the comments in the federal indictment, quote, on or about May 24th, 2016, defendant Robert Heenan, he is the councilman, told defendant John Doherty, he's the head of the IBEW union, that a member of city council would vote in favor of a soda tax if the member got a little like hug. Let him know that once you get this stuff, there's going to be a ton of major league jobs that his wife is more than qualified for. Now, a couple of other of the comments in the federal indictment today also show that this was done to go after the Teamsters and drops all kinds of F-bombs and everything like that. Now, this is causing a lot of concern for those people that support the soda tax. One of those people who should be concerned is Mayor Jim Kenney, because Mayor Jim Kenney, shortly after the he became mayor with the help of the union, he was the one who pushed for the soda tax, obviously. And, you know, some people are wondering now, did Mayor Kenney do this to thank the union? On or about July 21st, 2015, defendant John Doherty told a person connected to the Philadelphia Convention Center he wanted someone to deliver the message to a named Teamsters Union officer that if the officer keeps, quote, using the convention center against blank in his conversations, he's going to wind up with an effing soda tax, which is going to kill him. And Bobby Heenan, the councilman, is delivering the message. And also this little nugget here that I love. On or about May 13th, 2015, defendant John Doherty, the union boss, advised defendant Brian Burroughs, local 98 president, that he planned to use his relationship with defendant Robert Heenan, the councilman, to threaten the Teamsters union for the political commercials that portrayed him in a negative light. Doherty said, quote, let me tell you what Bobby Heenan is going to do. And he's already talked to blank. They're going to start to put a tax on soda again. And that will cost the Teamsters 100 jobs in Philly. Now, it has cost people a lot of jobs. It's caused businesses to close. It's hurt poor people who've had to pay this regressive tax. It's been a failure across the board. Now, the question is, was it political retribution? And what did Mayor Jim Kenney know? And when did he know it? Because these people got him into office. And right after he got into office, he pushed for the soda tax and then signed it into law. And this is something not a lot of people know. A big part of the soda tax revenue goes to reconstruction work in Philadelphia. I know everybody thinks it's just for the children, but there's also a lot of reconstruction work which benefits, you guessed it, said union. And you know what? Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, comes out and says, he says, hey, yeah, but you know what? It might be retribution, but it has nothing to do with me. I have a lot of questions here about this, and I think that the national media should be wondering if a tax was put on soda as political retribution. You know, like how some lanes in Jersey by a bridge were condensed to one to get back at Democrats? I'm just curious. But again, the national media won't give a damn because it's Democrats. It's the big cover-up here. This is how it works. Frank in Center City. Frank, how are you, sir?
Rich, Crookadelphia, it just goes on and on. That's just amazing. But, hey, the main reason I called, I got a little bone to pick with you, my friend.
Go ahead.
So, 2 weeks ago, and I'm finally getting over it, you put this little chime into my head, this little baby shark thing. Okay.
This one?
There it is.
This song.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
Yeah. So
okay.
For 2 weeks, okay, that went over and over in my head. I finally get rid of it, and what do you do to us today, Rich? You put another one. Redneck's got a rope, okay? So to all of your other loyal listeners, I just want to thank you, buddy, because for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be playing that and jingling that along in my little brain. But, again, it's very entertaining, and I appreciate it.
Oh, come on, sing with me, Frank. Ready?
Here we go.
Redneck with the rope. All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I apologize. You too, my friend. Thank you. Very good call. I apologize to everybody. There's more hate tweets tonight from people over this.
Oh, no.
Hate tweets.
The Zioli karaoke? This has got legs.
They will literally take us off the air for this. They will literally take us off the air. But Tuesday night, if we're not on the air, it's not because of the fact that we were taken off the air. It's because they scheduled a State of the Union address. But we already have a basketball game on the station that night. So
I hope it's a good game. It better be a good game, too.
I believe it's the Redneck with the Rope. Rednecks with the Rope versus the former Native Americans. I believe they're playing each other. It'll be the speech, though, will be on KYW, I believe. Our sister station will have it.
Yeah, well, it'll be everywhere.
So we'll just tell everybody to tune out.
Go listen to that.
It's always good programming. Yeah.
I can't wait to get all that. I'm never listening again.
It'll be on the radio.com app, too.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't know. I think you should probably vet that before you say that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, so there you go. Well, I guess we'll see how that works. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
CJ Philly has it all figured out about the Jussie Smollett case. Rich asks Jesse how many napkins he was given with his Subway sandwich. If his answer is greater than one, the whole story is fake.
There you go. There you go. It's boom. True.
They're always very cheap with the napkins there. They are. It's a great observation.
Thank you, Flemington Furs, for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Riccioli 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.